I want to begin with a little question or discussion over the difference between a teacher and a student. As students, which is what you're practicing now, someone gives a shiur or a lecture and you absorb the information. If you're coming from the point of view of a teacher, especially not just one class, but let's say you're teaching a whole course, there's always a question. I have a lot of information I want to give over. I want to teach something. How do you organize the material that you're going to teach? I'll give an example from Chulin. Let's say you have to teach somebody how to drive a car. So to teach someone how to drive a car, there's a lot of steps, a lot of information you have to give over. And you have, let's say, 10 lessons. If you have to plan, how am I going to give over those lessons? You have to sit for a minute and think, how can I give over the information in a way so that that student, after 10 lessons, can actually drive a car? How would you do it? You have to start thinking. We're not going to discuss that yet. But take the same analogy to Lahavdil HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has a lot of laws he wants to give a nation. Am Yisrael came out of Egypt. They came to Har Sinai. They entered a brit at Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has 600 some laws to give over. What order do you expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to sit and present them? Pretend you had the same challenge. You had all these laws to give over. I'm making a point of this is because we don't, as students, we usually don't even think in those terms. We say, oh, we learned another pasuk, another parsha, another set of laws, and we just absorb them. But ask yourself for a minute, what would you expect the teacher to be giving over? So pretend you were in charge of that, and you had to write the lesson plan, or you had to decide, you had Torah to teach somebody. Take, for example, a convert who wants to become Jewish, and you have to give him a whole set of laws about being Jewish. Where would you begin? And how would you organize it? Now, give me just a range of possibilities, just for the fun of it. What would be a logical way to teach it, if you were Yeki, yeah?
We'll start with fundamentals first.
Yeah. Start with fundamentals and then go to branch out. Another way to do it? Start with fear of God. Okay, that could be the same thing, the most fundamental.
Know the person
you are talking. Exactly. Know who your student is. Yeah. Like, take him out of Egypt. Take him on a class trip with a lot of excitement on the way. Take him on a Disney ride kind of thing. And then we'll talk. Again, there's a lot of considerations, but in light of that, I want you to appreciate what happens in Chumash. What happens in Chumash is the way we read Chumash, the way it's written, is very different than what actually happened at Har Sinai. And that's the goal of the shir today, to try to get that across. There's a big difference between what Am Yisrael heard when they were at Har Sinai, as opposed to the play-by-play that we're getting in Chumash of what happened. The flip side of what I'm telling you, Chazal say in one line, which you know by heart, it's called Ein Mukdam Mochar B'Torah. The Chumash is not in chronological order. The goal of the shir today is to try to understand what's behind that and how it's going to help explain how Chumash works. So let's review what actually does happen. Am Yisrael comes out of Egypt, gets to Har Sinai, goes through a lot of experiences. They get to Har Sinai and they accept the covenant. Vatem tu li mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. We read that yesterday. God gives them the Ten Commandments. We'll call them the fundamentals for now. If we have time, we'll discuss that a little bit later on. What do they receive next? We started reading it in Maftar yesterday. What we call Parsha Mishpatim. They get a set of laws, mostly in Parsha Mishpatim, and they accept those. Then Moshe Rabbeinu goes up for 40 days and 40 nights. We're going to read all this inside in a minute. I want to make sure we're all together on the same page. Moshe goes up for 40 days and 40 nights, and what laws does he receive during the first 40 days? All the laws, some of the laws. That's something to think about. But we all know he goes up for 40 days and 40 nights to get laws. We'll start the show right there in a minute. When he comes down, what happened? Chetei Egel. He has to daven for 40 days. Then God says, come out for another 40 days, and he gets the second luchot, midot rachamim, and probably some more laws. Correct? He comes down, and what day does he come down with the second luchot? On Yom Kippur. And then what happens? He gathers them together and tells them, Parsha Vayakel, the laws of the Mishkan. Everyone knows the minhag we have because of that? What do we do right after Yom Kippur? Why do we start building the sukkah? Not just to start with the mitzvah, but the sukkah is like a little mishkan that reminds us of that idea. How long did they build the mishkan? For about a half a year. They dedicate the mishkan on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And then why don't we travel to Israel right away? You know why we don't travel to Israel right away? No. There's a Kiddush. What Kiddush am I talking about? You know it by heart. There's a 12-day Kiddush after they dedicate the Mishkan. In short, remember on Hanukkah? Didn't it seem? Every day, from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until the 12th of Nisan, every day there's a Flesh of Kiddush, sponsored by a different Shevet. Read Parshat Naso, you know it by heart. I press a button, you know everything, remember? How many animals they had? Luzeva Hashlamim, finish boring. Bakar, Elim, Atudim, okay? That's a Flesh of Kiddush. That's why every day was another one. It's the 12th of Nisan. Then what happens? They can't travel, it's Pesach. Why don't they go right after Pesach? Some troublemakers were asking questions. Not troublemakers. They said, it's not fair, we can't bring because we're Tamei. What's God say? Wait another month, Pesach Sheni. And where do they finally leave Har Sinai? On the 20th of Iyar. Now, why did I do all this? You know that, don't you? They're at Har Sinai for about a year less 10 days. During that year at Har Sinai, the goal was to get them ready to go to the land of Israel to become God's nation. In theory, does it make sense that all the laws would be given while they're at Har Sinai? Because what should have happened when they left Har Sinai? They should have gone right in and taken over the land. That's in Parsha Balotcha. Are there any laws after Parsha Balotcha in Chumash? There's lots of them, aren't there? In the second half of Bamidbar and all of Sefer Dvarim. When were those laws given? If they were only given after they left Har Sinai, why? You understand my question? That's going to be the point of departure of this year. Half the laws of Chumash are after Parsha Balotcha. Half of Bamidbar and all, 2/3 of Bamidbar and all of Dvarim. It doesn't make sense that those laws were only given after we left Har Sinai. Because those laws should have been given beforehand. What I want to show you in the shir today is how and why those laws were given on Har Sinai, but also why they're recorded afterwards. That's the title, how the law was given, how the Torah was given, as opposed to how it was written. Remember, according to Chazal, Chumash that we have was written when? In the 40th, before Moshe dies, in the 40th year, that's when Chumash gets its final form into 5 books. When Moshe comes down from Har Sinai, he doesn't come down with Hagbah. He doesn't come down, even the first time he doesn't come down with the tablets, only gets the Luchot, only after the first 40 days. Now, let's take the source sheet now. And I'll begin with the first source, which is the end of Parshat Mishpatim. Sukkim we're all familiar with, but I just want to read them. If you have a real Chumash with you, even better. Give me a source sheet. If you look at the end of Perek Chaf Dalet, if you have a Chumash, even better, but we'll read from the source sheet. We just finished the Brit Nasev and Yishma at the end of in the beginning of Perek Chaf Dalet. In the last Aliyah, we have like this: Vayim Hashem Moshe, Alei Layahara. God tells Moshe, "Come up the mountain. Ve'yesham, be there with me. Ve'na lachet luchot ha'even, v'torah v'mitzvah shekatavti lorotam." What is Moshe going to receive on Har Sinai now? The luchot ha'even, we call luchot ha'brit, the Torah and the mitzvah. The God's writing, lorotam means to teach them. How many laws have they received till now? The Ten Commandments and Parshat Mishpatim. Now Moshe is going up to Har Sinai for some more, if we keep Chumash in order at least. Moshe goes up, Yeshua is with him. Moshe goes to the top of the mountain. He tells his kingdom, I'm coming back. Skip to Pasuk Tetvav. Vaya Moshe Lahar, Pasuk Yitchet. Vayavo Moshe Betoch Hanan, Vaya Lahar. Vayi Moshe Bahar, Arbaim Yom, Barbaim Laila. At the end of Parshat Mishpatim, Chumash tells us that Moshe goes up for 40 days and 40 nights. What's he supposed to receive in Har Sinai? The Ten Commandments we got. Parshat Mishpatim we received. If we keep Chumash in order. What's left? Right? There's more laws, possibly the rest of the laws. If I take Chumash literally, What laws does he receive when he goes up to Har Sinai? What's the next pasuk in Chumash? Parsha Truma. And therefore, what laws does he receive? The laws in Truma Tetzaveh and the first half of Ketisa are basically the laws of how to build a Mishkan. If I keep Chumash in order, when Moshe goes up for the first 40 days, what does he receive? Truma Tetzaveh and half of Ketisa are basically the laws of the Mishkan and Shabbat with the trailer. That verb Shomer is there. What? At Mara, according to the Ramban, the laws he got were simply how to run the camp. The laws he got beforehand, we have the laws of the Man, which are training. At Mara, it seems to be, simple pshat is, he got laws of Chok HaMishpat V'Sham Niso. Those are laws to get them ready, which Ramban calls Sidurei Machane, how to act in the camp. Now, Chazal say there was, remember, Shabbat, Paraduma, and Kippur Av. So Paraduma doesn't make any sense at all in Pshat, because there's no, how can you talk about Paraduma if there's no Mishkan? That doesn't fit in at all. Kippur Av Ve'Eim, it's pretty much a no-brainer from, you know, like that. And Shabbat they got already anyhow. Shabbat they had with the Man. Shabbat for sure is before Har Sinai. But where that's coming from, that's a great drash. But again, if I keep Chumash in order, we get the Ten Commandments, Parsha Mishpatim, and Moshe goes up for 40 days to get the Mishkan. What did you learn when you were growing up? When did Moshe Rabbeinu get the laws of the Mishkan? Don't be afraid. What did they teach you when you were growing up? After what event did Moshe get the laws of the Mishkan? After Chet Egel. We'll try to prove how true that is today. But at first glance, it seems almost ridiculous. You understand why? Moshe goes up to Har Sinai in Chumash for the first 40 days. What laws does Chumash record that he received? The laws of the Mishkan. What did Chazal come and say? What laws did he really receive? All the rest of laws of Chumash. What laws didn't he receive? The laws of the Mishkan. Do you understand what happens? In Chumash, if I keep Chumash in order, Moshe goes up to Har Sinai for the first 40 days to get the laws of the Mishkan and only the Mishkan. According to Chazal, when Moshe goes up for the first 40 days, he gets all the laws of the Torah except for the Mishkan. And when does he get the Mishkan? In the second 40 days after Chet Egel. It sounds almost ridiculous, doesn't it? Ramban fights it tooth and nail. Ramban he begins his Pirush in Parsha Truma, says this just can't be. Keep Chumash in order, makes perfect sense. He says that Har Sinai, we simply take Har Sinai, turn the Mishkan to represent Har Sinai, and we don't leave Har Sinai, we take it with us. And he shows how the Mishkan is a continuation of Har Sinai, it's a beauty. In the Shirtei, I want to try and explain why Chazal say what they do, and like to say, Ramban is 100% right, and Chazal even better. Yeah. The Luchot are a symbol of the covenant, Luchot HaBrit. The Luchot are a sign for Am Yisrael, and they're going to be, it makes even more sense, because where do we house the Luchot? In the Aron. Where's the Aron located? In the Mishkan. So Moshe is going up to get the Luchot, and as with the Luchot comes its housing. It's like so simple. Why would someone think anything different? It makes perfect sense the way it is. Remember, if it's not broken, don't fix it. So what I want to try and explain today is why does Rashi, Kodei Chazal, change the order? If it wasn't for Sefer Dvarim, you couldn't even suggest such a thing. But the source of Chazal isn't Sefer Dvarim. Sefer Dvarim tells another story, a parallel story of what happened at Har Sinai, which we're going to read now, and we're going to see something very different. Perikei Sefer Dvarim, I'll have to give a 2-minute introduction to Sefer Dvarim to appreciate what's happening. What I want to explain today, I'll just spill the beans and then I'll try to explain it because I'm afraid I'll lose everybody. What I want to explain today is that according to Chazal, not only according to Chazal, according to Chumash and Sefer Dvarim, what Moshe Rabbeinu received on the first 40 days were the laws of Sefer Dvarim. You follow? They're so important that they get their own book. But if Chumash was in chronological order, the way Chumash was given, at the end of Parsha Mishpatim, I would have Sefer Dvarim. Or most of Sefer Dvarim. The laws of Sefer Dvarim. Why the laws of Sefer Dvarim, even though they were given in Har Sinai in the first 40 days, why they're not recorded in Shemot, and why Chumash saves them for Sefer Dvarim, that's the goal this year today. So to do that, we have to read what happens in Sefer Dvarim. The reason why most of you aren't familiar with this is it has to do with the Jewish calendar. Because when do we read Sefer Dvarim?
Summertime.
No one's in yeshiva, no one's in school. Ben Azmanim. It's Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is Dvarim. And then Ben Azmanim, no one's reading. By the time yeshiva starts, or school starts, then hello, you're learning about the holidays. Dvarim is never learned. And there's another good reason. What's everyone think Dvarim is? Which means? A repetition. Oh, and everyone thinks it's a repetition of the first four books. It's simply not true. Doesn't begin. Dvarim is not a repetition of the first four books. Dvarim is a repetition of the laws that Moshe Rabbeinu got at Har Sinai. But what confuses people is that Moshe Rabbeinu is repeating laws in Sefer Dvarim that he received in Har Sinai. The reader of Chumash never heard them yet. Am Yisrael heard them many times. And that's what's confusing. To the people in Har Sinai, they've heard Moshe give this speech over and over again. But the reader of Chumash never heard these laws before. Why Chumash saves them and dedicates a whole book to them, that's what I try to explain to you today. Once you understand how that works, everything will fall into place and you'll appreciate everything Chazal said. So let's begin in Parakeh, in Sefer Dvarim, Parshat Et Hanan, where Moshe begins his speech. I'm sure you know that Sefer Dvarim is in the 40th year, a month before Moshe passes on, and he's giving his goodbye speech, and in his goodbye speech he gives a review of all the laws. We're beginning with chapter 5 because the first four chapters of Sefer Dvarim are the background, as Moshe Rabbeinu was giving an earlier speech, what I call a pep talk, to explain to the people why it's been 40 years since they got these laws. Because as someone mentioned before, why has it been 40 years? They were ready, after they built the Mishkan, when they were leaving Har Sinai, they were ready to go in. They were all set. They were all set to keep the laws that God gave them. But they sinned with Chet HaMeraglim. Therefore, they have to wait 40 years. And Moshe says, he's explaining why has it been 40 years because of Chet HaMeraglim. And therefore, he spins his story with full of Musar. Don't make the same mistake again. That's why the story is a little bit different between there and Bamidbar. And then he explains to him, God's on our side again. Look what he did for us with Sichon and Og. It's more like a pep talk. He gives some warnings as a background to the big speech coming up. Now we'll see the big speech that begins in Parakeh. For those who aren't familiar, the speech that Moshe begins with in Parakeh is most of the book. It goes from Parakeh to Chavav. It starts in chapter 5 and goes all the way to Parsha Ki Tavo to Mikra Bikurim. And I'm sure you all remember from speech class, every speech has three parts. Say what you're going to say. Say it. And say what you said. You've heard that before, haven't you? Now, listen, Moshe Rabbeinu follows that principle. Pasuk Aleph. Vayikra Moshe al kol Yisrael, vayomer lehem. Shma Yisrael et hachukim ve'et hamishpatim asher anochi dover b'ozneichem hayom, ulamadtem otam u'shmartem la'asotam. He tells them, listen to these laws I'm teaching you today. Keep them and learn them. If Moshe is saying what he's going to say, let's say you were there. Moshe's first words, remember, was, listen up everyone. I'm about to teach you chukim u'mishpatim. And what do you have to do with these chukim u'mishpatim? You have to learn them and keep them. That pasuk is worth a whole sikha. You know why? Because part of keeping the laws is learning them. That's what Kol Yom Rishon, I think, is about. Or any Jewish learning. You can't keep Jewish law unless you learn it. Learn it comes part and parcel with keeping it. You can't just keep the laws, you have to learn them. Ulamaretem otam, you have to learn them and keep them. It's not enough just to learn them, not just to keep them, but both of them together. If you were there, what would you expect the next line to be? If someone gathered, some great leader gathered everyone together and said, listen, here's a set of laws you have to keep, what should the next line be? Law number one, law number two, law number three. But let's say there's a bunch of teenagers in the audience. What are they thinking? You guys forget what it means to be a teenager. Someone says, here's a bunch of laws you have to keep. Yeah, why? Who do you think you are? Moshe Rabbeinu? Who do you? So listen to what Moshe begins with. What's he say? Hashem Elokeinu krati manu brit b'chorev. Our God, our boss, made a covenant with us at Har Sinai. That was so 40 years ago, wasn't it? But why does he begin with that? Why does he begin with that? Why does he begin with the laws? He has to explain to them, why are you obligated to keep these laws? And before Moshe Rabbeinu gives over the laws, he says, these laws, you tied the knot 40 years ago at Har Sinai. You made a covenantal commitment. Now, we're not running Sefer Dvarim now in detail. The next line he says, by the way, don't think that covenant was only your parents. That was for all generations. Not only with your parents, we did that, but you as well. You standing here today. And to make it crystal clear at the end of the speech, guess what he's going to do? He'll make another covenant. That's Parshat Nitzavim. That's Parshat Ki Tavo and Nitzavim. Now, after that, Moshe Rabbeinu quotes the Ten Commandments again. Everyone knows there's two sets of Ten Commandments, in the second set in Devarim. The reason why he quotes them again, because he's telling the story of how that covenant took place. After quoting the Ten Commandments, Moshe Rabbeinu has to explain the most basic problem that he faces. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu teaching the laws and not God himself? If this is a covenant between God and the people, who should be giving over the laws? God should give them directly. Moshe has to explain to them, why is it that Moshe is teaching the laws and not HaKadosh Baruch Hu? To do that, what does he teach them? What story does he tell them? The story of why Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching them. It's going to be the story about how after standing at Har Sinai, everyone got scared. They became fearful. They came to Moshe and they begged him, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu, we got the point. We believe in God. We're all set. Just no more Shir Klal again. No more. That was enough. One Shir is enough. We get the point. We want to go. You go to Shir and we'll take your notebook. So listen how he tells them. Now remember, in Pasuk Yotet, we skipped Yotet. Yotet, it says, you heard these things at Har Sinai, all the laws of the Ten Commandments, and God wrote them on the Luchot. Pasuk Yotet. Vayikushom achem et hakol mitoch hachoshech bahar boer ba'esh, vatikruven elai kol rishei shivtechem zikmechem. You heard the Ten Commandments at Har Sinai, and you all came to me, all your leaders, and scared. Vatomru, and you said, God showed us His greatness, we heard His voice from the mountain, etc. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, ata lama namot, ki tochenu ish hagdola hazot. Just like the burning bush. Remember the burning bush was in Har Sinai? They see the same thing. They see that the mountain is burning with fire. And what are they afraid of? They're going to be eaten up with it. Say, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know how to handle that. We can't. Pasuk, skip to Chaf Dalet, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, I'm sorry. Krava Taushma, et kol asher yomar Hashem Elokeinu. What do they ask Moshe to do? We're on the top column on the left side. Moshe Rabbeinu, you go up and you speak to God, and anything you tell us that God said, we're signed in. We're committed. Anything but another day at Har Sinai. God heard this. He says, great idea. And skip right to Pasuk Chavav. God says, it's wonderful that they fear me this way. And now here's the plan. Pasuk Chavav. Lechem or lechem shuv lechem lo alechem. Go back and return to your tents. Vatav, you, Moshe Rabbeinu. Pasuk Chav Zayin here is the key. Vatav po amodi madi. Vadabrei lecha et kol ha-mitzvah v'chukim v'mishpatim. Asher tlamdein v'su ba'aretz asher anochi noten lehem l'rishta. What is Moshe Rabbeinu supposed to do now? Moshe Rabbeinu, you stay up with me in Har Sinai. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Har Sinai. And what is God going to tell Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai? Et kol ha-mitzvah and the chukim mishpatim asher tlamdei. What's that mean? That you will teach them, and where would they keep them? Vasu ba'aretz asher anochi noten lehem l'rishta. To keep it the land that you're going into. Moshe's giving over the laws 40 years later. Before he tells over the laws of Sefer Devarim, he gives an introduction. What does he say in the introduction? These laws that I'm teaching you today, they're not my laws, they're God's laws. When did I receive them? 40 years ago at Har Sinai. What's special about this set of laws? These laws apply to what we do when we come and conquer the land and set up a nation in the land of Israel. Why didn't you keep them so far? Because we haven't gotten the land. It's been 40 years because of your sins. That was the first speech. Now the 40 years are over. You're about to go in. Now they're applicable again. So these are the laws you have to keep when you come to the land of Israel. That's the introduction. Look at Pasuk Aleph of Perek Vav, the next line. Vizot, which is introducing what's coming up. Vizot ha-mitzvah. What's coming up now in Sefer Devarim? The mitzvah, the chukim mishpatim, that God commanded me to teach you back at Har Sinai 40 years ago to keep in the land. And then he starts telling the laws. Guess what the first law is? You know by heart, you say it every day. The first law of this set is Shema Yisrael. It's not a law, that's a statement or a wake-up call. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And the first law is, La'atet Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. Which is beautiful. You understand why? Why aren't they hearing the laws directly from God? They were too fearful. Remember? God says, fine, I'll speak to Moshe. What's the first commandment that they get? To overcome your fear, to love God. And that dialectic between Ava and Yira is built right into Chumash. God says, it's wonderful they fear me, but fear alone is not enough. You need a shtickle, you have to be a bit of a chassid as well, not just a litvak. But you can't just be all fear. There's also a need to love God. And you have to find a balance between them. That's ha-mitzvah, that's the commandment. And then, what's that referring to now? But we say every day in Shema, the laws of the speech of Sefer Dvarim, these laws are so important, because these are the laws that God gave Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai in the first 40 days. These laws have to be alav abecha. Then, vishinantam levanecha. What's that mean? How would you translate vishinantam levanecha? Not to teach. The teach in Hebrew is the lamed. What's vishinanta mean? What's vishinanta mean? What's vishinanta mean? Understand? What's vishinanta mean? That's vishinanta. Vishinanta means to repeat over and over again. The laws of Sefer Dvarim require constant repetition. And hence, what a Chazal called this book? Mishneh Torah. And you understand the confusion that happens? Mishneh Torah doesn't mean a repeat of the laws of the first four books. Mishneh Torah means a set of laws that needs constant repetition. Why do they need constant repetition? Because these are the core laws of Chumash. Let me explain why these are the core laws, and we'll see what laws are here. When we tied the knot at Har Sinai, when we accepted the Brit, what we read about in Sefer Shemot, in that covenant, what do we take upon ourselves? Atem tiulim amlechet koni v'goy kadosh. Remember God said, "If shemot yishmu b'koli." We read this yesterday. I'm sure you remember. Ushmartem et briti, v'tem liskulam mikolamim ki likol aretz. Are you willing to follow me, be my covenantal partner, even though I'm the God of all mankind? If so, v'tem tiuli, you'll be for me a kingdom of priests, means a nation, a mamlacha, a nation representing God, and hence designated, set aside, separated to serve God, v'goy kadosh. Am Yisrael says yes. What needs to happen next? Am Yisrael just Chazal compared to a wedding, don't they? We just accepted this relationship blindly. Now what do we need to know? Our responsibilities. Now someone's got to read the Ksuba. We accepted this commitment to work for God, to be His partner. Now we need to know what our responsibilities. What are our responsibilities? What we call Torah. That's why we have 613 and they have 7. Because we're representing God and we need more mitzvot. We need mitzvot that guide our behavior, and we need tons of mitzvot that remind us of that responsibility. We have things like the Mishkan, Mezuzah, we have tons of, I think they call them ritual, that reminds us how important it is that we're representing God. We also have tons of laws that are core values and how we have to act representing God. Now, what's beautiful about the laws in Dvarim we're going to see, they're not just laws of how you represent God as an individual. They're primarily laws of how you represent God as a nation. For example, a nation representing God, they need to have a judicial system. And how do the judges have to act? Above and beyond what Parsha is at? Parsha Shoftim, isn't it? Shoftim v'Shotrim. Tzedek Tzedek Tzedov. We have to have a political system, but how do our political leaders have to act? What Parsha is that? Remember Parsha Tamelech? We have to go to war. How do we go to war? There's tons of laws how to go to war. We have a whole system of social justice, all through Sefer Dvarim, about sharing our wealth with the poor and the needy and making them feel like they did it themselves, like Lechet Shicha and Payah. We have laws about our national holidays in Re'eh, the Sholosh Regalim, and how we act at those. We have a national economic system. You know what we call that economic system? What's the Hebrew word for Ponzi? You know what our economic system is? In Dvarim? You don't realize there's an economic system which is amazing? It's called Shemitah. But not, it's called Shemitah Ksafim. Every 7 years, all loans are null. That creates a, and then every not to mention Yovel, where all the land goes back after 50 years. Mm-hmm. That's an economic system that doesn't let the rich get too rich and the poor get too poor. It leaves room for capitalism 6 years, six years out of seven. But the system is reset every 7 years to make sure we don't have landlords and peasants, like feudal Europe had. Once all the land and all the money is in one group, it's hard to get out of that. Anyway, but what I'm getting at, the laws in Sefer Devarim are how we create not just individuals representing God, a nation representing God. And that's why we never found those laws before Ibn Chumash. If you want to look for how an individual represents God, that's Kedoshim Tiyu. Remember Kedoshim Tiyu, Lo Terech Rechia Bamecha, Al Tamod Adam Riecha, V'Avta Recha Kamocha? Those are laws of individual behavior. The laws of a nation representing God, that's Sefer Devarim. It deals with individuals as well, but it deals more with individuals as part of the nation representing God. It's 22 chapters, from chapter 5 to chapter 26. As Moshe Rabbeinu reviews those laws that he got on Har Sinai, he gives lots of muster. Left and right he gives muster, doesn't he? Remember what happened here, remember this, remember how bad you were. As a teacher, giving over laws and giving a Chazar Asher, every opportunity he has to give a little muster, a little explanation, for sure he adds. The laws are 40 years old. The Musar is brand new. What does Chumash decide to do? Instead of recording the laws in a boring way, when Moshe got him in the first 40 days in Sefer Shemot, Chumash dedicates an entire book to these laws. And how does it record the laws? Not how they were given the first time, but how Moshe Rabbeinu teaches them the last time. Because now they're refined. And once you understand that, then you can appreciate what's happening in Sefer Devarim. Now, they're so important to get their own book, but because these laws relate to how Am Yisrael becomes a nation in the land, it's very meaningful that they're recorded and how they're given to the generation that's going to actually fulfill that, as opposed to how they were given to the generation that never made it there. That's another reason why they're in Devarim and not in Shemot. What does Sefer Shemot focus on? Sefer Shemot focuses on the relationship itself. I'll try to explain why. If I want to understand what laws make it to Sefer Shemot focuses on the relationship that develops between God and His people. The courtship, never coming out of Egypt, the miracles, the testing, till they get to Har Sinai, the training, thinking they're ready to say Naaseh V'Nishma. The actual covenant in Har Sinai, with all of its, with the experience as well. The core laws of Parshat Mishpatim, which is the Sirin itself, which they say Naaseh V'Nishma to. Yeah, that stands alone, but that's like a sampling of laws. It's basically civil law, a little bit examples of ethical law. But it sort of standardizes, it's a sample of what Judaism is about, we're going to read this week. And then the rest of the book focuses on how our relationship with God is finalized. Why do we focus on Chet Ha'Egel? Because in light of Chet Ha'Egel, what does God need to do? Part of this relationship comes with attributes. In the original relationship in the Ten Commandments, God's really mean. It's a real strict relationship. It's midat adin. Remember we read yesterday, Hashem is a kel kana. He's a zealous God. Poked avon lo sonai. Ose chesed lo havai. Ki lo, what happens if you lo tisat shem Hashem elakha chashab? Ki lo yinake Hashem. There's attributes in the Ten Commandments, and God is very strict and demanding, which makes sense because you have an important job to do. To the point that, what does God realize? This nation, after Chet Ha'Egel, there's no way they'll be able to maintain this relationship. What does God suggest that Moshe Rabbeinu do? Dump them, I'll make a nation out of people like you. What's Moshe do? Remember, he davens. In light of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, what does God decide to do? I'm going to change my attributes, what we call Midot Rachamim, which require a new covenant. Where do we get the details of that? That's Parsha Kitisa, isn't it? The commandment. And then, as a symbol of that, new covenant, what do we need to build? A Mishkan that represents that God can dwell, even though we're not so great, even though we're not Kshei Oreth, God will still dwell in our midst. And that will explain, and the Mishkan will be a symbol of that refined relationship. Why does Sefer Shemot focus on the Mishkan? Because the Mishkan is a symbol of the strained relationship and the renegotiated relationship with Midot Rachamim that God has with Am Yisrael. Why it's out of order, that we don't have time for, and maybe we'll talk about it at the end if we have time. What I'm trying to explain is, Sefer Shemot is going to focus on the relationship between God and His people. and the stories and the laws that relate to that relationship. The book that talks about how we actually become a nation representing God, that's the laws in Sefer Dvarim. Now, when Moshe comes down, from Har Sinai, the next source, see, Vahi Breda Moshe Mi Har Sinai, when Moshe comes after, in Parsha Kitisa, I want to show you how Chumash tells the story how Moshe gave over the laws. Let's say Sefer Dvarim is correct, that the first 40 days Moshe Rabbeinu gets the laws that are recorded in Sefer Dvarim. The start with Shema, Vayim Shemoa, all the way through from Etchanan, all the way till Parsha Mishpatim, till Parsha Kitavo. If that's the case, when Moshe came down after the first 40 days, why doesn't he tell them the laws of Sefer Dvarim? By the way, because of Chetei Egel. Moshe Davins goes up, gets the laws of the Mishkan. When he comes down after the last 40 days, listen to what happens in Chumash. Pasuk Chavtet, it's in Perek Lamed Aleph on the left side of the first page. And then Moshe calls, everyone's afraid of him, that's the Sukkim with Moshe Rabbeinu with the horns, if you remember. The people, Gimer Kikranor Panav, the famous Michelangelo Psukim. Gitzer, Moshe breaks the ice with him and just gives the Pasuk Lamed Bet. What happens? Moshe, all the whole nation came to Moshe, and Moshe taught them all the things that God gave him on Har Sinai. What does Sefer Shmot tell us about? That when Moshe came down from Har Sinai, he taught Am Yisrael all the laws that they got on Har Sinai. It tells us the story, but what doesn't tell us? It doesn't tell us the laws. Where do we find them? In Har Sinai. Now, I'll show you the Chizkuni I have right below here explains the whole thing. This is the Chizkuni and how the Torah was given as opposed to how it was written. He's simply explaining the Gemara in Masechet Megillah about what's called the Torah is Megillah Megillah Nida. And that's Samach Amanal. At Kol Asher Diber Hashem Ito Bahar Sinai, first Chizkuni makes a statement. The bottom left, the little Chizkuni on the bottom left. First Chizkuni is going to make a statement that we talked about in the beginning of this year. All the mitzvot that Moshe Rabbeinu received on the first 40 days in Har Sinai, and all the mitzvot he got on the second 40 days at Har Sinai, and all the mitzvot that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Am Yisrael in general, when were they given? Namru minisan shabay yetsu Yisrael mimitzrayim adasim biyar v'shana sheni. Chizkuni is making a very bold statement. He says, all the laws that God needed to give Am Yisrael were given from the time they left Egypt in Parshat Tachonish, in Parshat Bo, Perek Yudbet, and Brachonish Shalachem, laws of Korban Pesach. During then, in the desert, in Marah, in Har Sinai, first 40 days, last 40 days, when the Mishkan is built, by the time they leave from Har Sinai, the 20th of Iyar, in the second year, all the laws are given. For good reason. Because where should they be going to? They're off to the land. But what happened? Avo Torah, Megillah Nitna. How is the Torah given to Moshe Rabbeinu? In Megillot. Megillot means, they call them big mezuzahs. Every time Moshe Rabbeinu got a law, he wrote it down. Chizkuni will explain. לפי שהיה משה שומע מצוות מפי הקדוש ברוך הוא, היה כותב כל אחת במגילתה לעצמה. As he got the laws from God, every law he wrote in a Megillah to itself. What did Moshe Rabbeinu have with him during these 40 years? He had a big library with lots and lots of Megillot. Everyone follow? He's got hundreds of laws, stories, tons of Megillot. It's the 40th year now. Moshe's about to die. Listen to what Chizkuni explains. Ukshabali pater min olam, when it came time for Moshe Rabbeinu to die, and I'll paraphrase this, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, publish and perish. If you understand the connection. Okay? So it's time to put everything into a book. We call Torah's Moshe. It's time to put it into a book. But how does Moshe Rabbeinu put it together? If he was a Yeki, what would he have done? He would look at the date stamp of every Megillah and just put it in order. If he was a Rambam, he would put it, in logical order. Okay. But he's Moshe Rabbeinu. And God tells him to put it in a much more beautiful order. Listen to what he says. Ukshabali patem min olam, sider sefer Torah, tukava po ha-parshiyot ad ha-yom hazeh, based on what criterion? Lefi ha-smuchin ha-ruin lehem kamo shedushu rabbeinu. What does Moshe Rabbeinu do intentionally? Or, through God's guidance. What does he do? He doesn't just take all the laws and put them in chronological order. He doesn't put all the laws and stories in that way. He doesn't put them in topical order. What does he do? He puts them in, not only in thematic order, he writes them in a way that you learn not only from their content, but also from their context. Meaning, when you study Chumash, Chumash is structured in a way, and the assumption is when you're reading it, the Moshe Rabbeinu is presenting it in a way that there's meaning not only to the laws themselves, there's meaning to the manner of presentation. And if I pick this set of laws for Parshat Mishpatim, there's meaning why I pick these laws and not different laws. If I put these laws in Sefer Devarim, there's a reason for that. And if Parshat Kedoshim 2 is in the middle of Vayikra, there's a reason for that. And if I put laws of Paradum and Exodus story Bitat Miriam, there's a reason for that. Well, Chazal calls Svichut Parshiot. Means Chumash is pre-coded. And not only is there a message in the words themselves and the laws themselves, but there's also a message in how they're being presented. So that if you understand chiasms, what's behind this is the whole way that we study Torah. The assumption is pre-coded, and what Chazal need to do is to decode it. Rabbi Shmuel, for example, has 13 principles of how to decode halachot. You know them by heart, don't you? We can remember before Kaddish Rabbanu in the morning? It's the beginning of Sifri, it's the beginning of Torah Koni, the beginning of Vayikra, because we just finished Korbanot. But how do we learn halachot when things are ambiguous? The assumption is Chumash is pre-coded, and purposely God writes in a cryptic way, and through God's cryptic writing we can learn tens and tens of halachot. That's exactly what Chazal do. Now, who has a license to decode that, you can argue? We do it, now we can, we do. Now, and do we decode only halachot, or do we also decode makshava? And who has a license for that? That's been going on for thousands of years. That's exactly the Limud Torah. It's that nature of Chumash that makes it alive. And it's so deep, and it's the cryptic way that it's written leads itself to interpretation that keeps Parshanim busy for thousands, for all generations. And every generation finds something new again. Now, so that's the Chizkuni about how Chumash was given. In that setup, what does Chumash do? Chumash dedicates a whole book, Sefer Dvarim, to the laws that Moshe Rabbeinu got on Har Sinai in the first 40 days. Now, before we turn the page, go back again to the top right. When Moshe goes up for the first 40 days, what does he go up to get? So we know what duchot ha'evan are. What's the Torah and what's the mitzvah? What I want to suggest is the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to get, not the Torah, but the Torah, if you understand the difference. When we say Torah, we mean everything but Chumash. Pretty much. And everything we learn is Torah. But Torah and Chumash doesn't mean what we say when we say Torah. Torah and Chumash is a specific set of laws. What I want to explain now is when Moshe Rabbeinu goes up here to get the word, to get Torah and the mitzvah, it's referring to the laws of Sefer Dvarim. When the shir is over, the Ramban says it in two lines, but I'll try to explain where the Ramban's getting it from. Look in on the other page, which is bigger print now. It all begins, if you have your own Chumash, it's even better to see it inside. It all begins with the pasuk that Chumash stole from the Siddur. You know which one I'm talking about? On Monday and Thursday, when we lift up, when we do Hagba, what do we say? Zot HaTorah? Yeah. To our surprise, it's not only in the Siddur, that pasuk. You know where it comes from? It comes from Chumash, but in a totally different context. It's at the end of Perak Dalet, which is right before Perak He, in Sefer Dvarim. And what's it coming to do? That pasuk is introducing the speech that begins in chapter 5. Most of Sefer Dvarim is written in first person because Moshe Rabbeinu is giving his speech. But the narrator of Chumash, the one that's been telling us all from Breshit through Bamidbar, who's been giving us a play-by-play of what's happening, the narrator of Chumash introduces Moshe Rabbeinu's speech in Sefer in Perek Dalet. And how does he introduce it? With what words? The Zot HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe, Bifnei Bnei Yisrael. What's coming up now in the next 22 chapters is the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu commanded the people of Israel again in the 40th year, which includes Ha'ela Haidot V'Chukim HaMishpatim Asher Diber Moshe B'nei Yisrael B'Tzeitam Mitzrayim. These are the Chukim Mishpatim and warnings that God gave Am Yisrael when they came out of Egypt. And now we go and quote the speech. And how does Moshe Rabbeinu begin his speech? Shema Yisrael Ta'chukim V'Mishpatim. Listen to us that I'm teaching you today. If you know Sefer Dvarim, the Chukim Mishpatim themselves actually begin in Parshat Re'eh, at the end of the first Aliyah, with Ela Chukim Mishpatim, which are the laws of HaMakom HaShayivchar Hashem, HaShakim Shmosham. But there's a whole set of laws from chapter 12 to chapter 26, which are the Chukim and Mishpatim, and the laws beforehand, from Perek Vav to Yud Aleph in Etchanan and Nekev, that's called HaMitzvah, which is to love God, to fear God, not to forget God, that begins with Shema Bahavta and ends with Vayem Shemoa. In a nutshell, when we say Shema every day, we say the beginning and end of the HaMitzvah section, and then the Chukim Mishpatim, which is the Torah, which are the laws, are from Perek Yud Bet, from Re'eh Shoftim Ki Tetze, and half of Ki Tavo. Why HaMitzvah to love God? I'd like to say all mitzvot are created equal, but some mitzvot are more equal than others. That's quoting someone there. You understand why? Why is Ahavat Hashem more important than all the other mitzvot? Why is it HaMitzvah with Hey Idea? Because if it's a covenantal relationship, without love and devotion, Ahavah and Chumash is not just love, it's also loyalty. Look carefully. Many times in Chumash, Lehov also means to be loyal. We have a lot of examples. It's again, another share in itself. V'avtat Hashem is not just to love God, it also means to be loyal to God, to be a good servant. So the speech begins with Zot HaTorah Shesa Moshe. I want to explain why it's called a Torah. What does the word Torah mean in Chumash up until this point? Give me examples of where the Torah is replete, used over and over again. In what book? Not the Torah, but a Torah. I'll give you a hint from Parshat Tzav. No Bakore? Zot Torah Ha'olah, Zot Torah Tamidcha, Zot Torah Tachatat, Zot Torah Ta'asham, ring a bell? Zot Torah Tamidcha Ta'knoot, Zot Torah Ta'nazir, Zot Torah Ta'yoledet. Rings a bell? In Vayikra and Bamidbar, there's tons of laws that are introduced as Torah. For a very simple reason, they're procedural. If I need to know the procedure, how to bring a Korban Mincha, Zot Torah Tamidcha. If I need to know the procedure for how to bring this korban for the sota, Zot Torat Mincha Taknot. What's the procedure for Yoledet? When she's ready to go back to Beit HaMikdash, Zot Torat HaYoledet. A Torah is a set of instructions, Horaot, procedure. Look how beautiful the word is. At Har Sinai, we took upon ourselves a covenant to be a Mamlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. A nation of slaves coming out of Egypt took upon themselves to be a nation representing God. What do we need to know now? I need to know a procedure how to become a Mamlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. Where do we find that procedure? Go to the laws of Sefer Dvarim. How to set up a nation that's going to represent God. Now I want to show you in the 10 minutes we have left, I want to show you this in Sefer Dvarim. So in short, that source A is the introduction, Bezot HaTorah Shesa Moshe. In source B, we'll just go in order. It's source B, the first part of it, is the beginning of the speech which we saw before. Moshe calls them together and says, listen, Yisrael, all these chukim mishpatim that I'm teaching you today. We did that. Remember I told you, Moshe says, say what you're going to say, Satan, say what you said. We're going to jump over all the laws that he gives in the book of Devarim and go right to the conclusion. Listen to how Moshe Rabbeinu says what he said at the end of the speech. These are the closing words of the speech. It's Perek Havav, chapter 26, Pasuk Tetzayin Tiyotet. Hayom Hazeh. The day that Moshe is giving the speech, the same yom vayuad v'rim eila shonochim etzavcha hayom alavavecha. I'm trying to, when you say Shema every day, it's exactly referring to this speech. Hayom hazeh, this day of Sefer Dvarim, Hashem elokecha metzavcha lasot et hachukim eila v'et hamishpatim. Who is commanding you to do these laws? Not Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is only the middleman. Whose laws are they? They're God's laws. The chukim mishpatim, that was the opening line. Remember? Shema Yisrael to Chukim Bet Mishpatim, and ends with, these Chukim Mishpatim that I'm teaching you, they're God's laws. God's commanding you, I'm just relaying them. V'shamarta v'sitru tam b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. How do you have to keep them? With Avat Hashem. That's the HaMitzvah. B'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha is exactly referring to Shema. Then we refer now to the covenant again. Et Hashem hemarta yom. You took upon yourself, Lo b'chal Elohim, v'lecha b'drachav. Am Yisrael took upon themselves, that Hashem will be our God. That's the phrase of Brit Milah and Brit Sinai. To follow His ways. The Lechem B'drachav in Chumash is to do Tzedek U'Mishpat. That's from Breshit Yudchet Yotet. L'shmor Chukav V'Nitzotav V'Mishpatav. And to keep all the detailed laws that Chumash gives us in all the books of Chumash. L'shmor V'Kolot to obeyim. Remember, L'shmor T'shmor V'Koli. V'Hashem Emir Chayom, God took upon Himself today. L'ot Lo Lam Skula. That you'll be for Him, His Am Skula. All psukim right out of Brit Sinai, aren't they? Batem Bitem Niskulam Mikolamin Tili Kolaritz. Batem Tili Mamlachet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. Bilam's good like Hashem Diber, as he told you in Har Sinai, Lishmo called Mitzvot to keep all of his laws. And the finale line, L'titcheh Yona kol hagoyim asher asah. This will put you in a leadership position above all the other nations. For what purpose? L'titcheh Hashem u'tiferet, for God's glory, His reputation, and His renown. U'liotcham kadosh Hashem elokecha kasher diber. And by doing, by keeping these laws, that will make you a Am Kadosh. You understand my main point? By keeping the laws of Sefer Dvarim, I turn a nation of slaves into a Mamlechet Koni V'Goy Kadosh. What breach, what covenant did we enter at Har Sinai? We told God we're willing to be a nation making a name for Him. V'atem Tuli Mamlechet Koni V'Goy Kadosh. We said Naser or Naseh V'Nishma. What do we need to find out now? A detailed lesson, how to become that nation. Where do we find the most detailed plan of how a nation becomes a nation representing God? Those are the laws of Sefer Dvarim. Now let Moshe Rabbeinu say it himself and see. In the introductory speech of chapter 4, which introduces the big speech, Moshe Rabbeinu explains them as follows. Actually, that's it's an E. Skip to E. Moshe tells them in his introduction, Re'e, understand, I'm teaching you today these Chukim Mishpatim that God commanded me to teach you to do in the land that you're going to. Pasuk Vav, Ushmartem Vasitem. Why? Ki hi chokhmatchem uvinatchem leinei hamim. And then, Kimigo Gadol Shalom Chukim Mishpatim Tzadikim. What's Moshe saying? These laws I'm commanding you, through them you'll be a light to the other nations. Through them, other nations will come and recognize God. And they'll say, where does a nation have such just and upright laws like these laws of this Torah? Moshe refers to the speech as the Torah. Now let me give the concluding proof, which is the easiest. After the speech is over, in Parshat Ki Tavo, in Perachat Zayin, there's another commandment, I'll just say it out loud because we don't have time to read it inside. There's another commandment that after Moshe finishes his speech, he tells them, when I pass on and you pass over to the land of Israel and capture the land, you're supposed to go to Har Ebal. And what are you supposed to do in Har Ebal? Set up big monuments, big stones, plaster them with plaster, and write on them, guess what you have to write on the big stones? The laws of this Torah. And look at the pasuk, how it describes it. Pasuk Gimel. V'katap, and see, pasuk Gimel. V'katap talem et kol divrei ha-Torah zot bavrecha. L'man asher tavo. What do you write on the big stones? The laws of this Torah, what Torah? What we call Mishneh Torah, the laws of Sefer Dvarim. And then, the psukim continue, look inside. He says, build a mizbeach, bring a lot and shlamim on this mountain. What are we doing, basically? Reliving Mamad Har Sinai. And we're getting, the brit that we make there will be coming up in Parshat, in the rest of Ki Tavo. What do we write? Pasachet. V'katata labanim et kol divrei ha-Torah hazot berete. What do we write on these stones in Har Ebal? All the words of this Torah. What Torah? The laws of Sefer Dvarim. It's so simple. That's how the Ber Hetiv got his name, by the way, if you know. You know the Ber Hetiv in Mishnah Berurah? So his name comes from that. Ber Hetiv got from here. What Moshe is commanding them in Sefer Dvarim is, even though I'm passing on, I'm teaching you these laws today, these are so important, they need constant repetition, that what I want you to do is when you come to the land of Israel, and you're about, and you capture the land, and you're ready to set up your land and your nation, make a national gathering in Har Ebal, relive Mamad Har Sinai, and you're going to have a big seminar, and you're going to sit and learn these laws inside out. Chazal say b'shivim lashon, in the same sense. Teach them, and explain them carefully. And that's not enough. What else do we need to do? Which is the last mitzvah of Chumash. Not only once at Har Ebal, but every 7 years, what do? Hakel. And guess what we read at Hakel? Let Chumash speak for itself. You can guess what word will be there. Hakel at Am, Anashim, Anashim, Vataf, Source D, V'gerecha Shebisharecha, L'man Yishmu, L'man Yamadu, Yirut Hashem, V'shamru Lasod et Kol, Divrei HaTorah Hazot. U'vnei Mesher Lo Yadu, Yishmu, V'lamdu, V'yirut Hashem, Elokechem. Every 7 years will be a mini Mamad Har Sinai. And the Shemitah year, every 7 years, is going to lead into it. That's why it's the last mitzvah of Devarim and the last mitzvah of Chumash. So to summarize, hope I got my point across. If I ask the question how the Torah was given as opposed to how it was written, there's a big difference. When you read Mamad Har Sinai, you have to understand that the laws of Sefer Devarim, they were first given in the first 40 days. Had it not been for Chet HaEgel, what would have happened? Am Yisrael would have gone into... let's say we didn't sit with Chet HaEgel. Moshe would have come down after 40 days with a set of laws how to become a nation representing God in the land of Israel, including laws for a temple. What would there not have been a need for? There would not have been a need for a temporary Mishkan. Why? Why stay in the desert? We're fine, we're ready to go. There's no mitzvah just being in the desert. Because of Chet Ego, what does God realize? We're not ready yet. We didn't pass the course. We're not ready to take the job yet, to be a nation representing God. We proved to God we're an Amkshe Orev. Therefore, God can't let us go into land. We can't keep the laws of Dvarim yet. What do we need first? We need some rehab. What does God give us for a rehab? He gives us the Mishkan for rehab, and we have to make it a portable, temporary Mikdash. We wouldn't have needed a temporary one had it happened for Chet Ego. Right. To emphasize the connection between the Mishkan and Har Sinai, Chumash puts it out of order, puts it earlier. But historically, what really happened, the laws of the portable Mikdash were given after Chet Ego, and explains why all the laws are so similar to Chet Ego, collecting the gold, etc. But that's I'm trying to explain why Chazal changed the order. They're so on the mark. It makes so much more sense that way. When you understand the laws of Sefer Dvarim were given on the first 40 days, and they include the laws about how to build a Mikdash, that's why there's no mention of the Mishkan in Sefer Dvarim. Because had it not been for Chet Ego, we wouldn't have had a Mishkan. So the laws in Dvarim represent the ideal. And I save them and repeat them and teach them over and over again in Sefer Dvarim. That's why there's contradictions. The laws in Dvarim came first. Because of Chet Ego and other things that happened, we have to readapt the laws of the Mikdash and make a portable one called the Mishkan. And Sefer Shemot finishes its focus on refixing and rebuilding the relationship. But the book of Devarim is the book that Moshe Rabbeinu got in the first 40 days. When he tells over the speech, for sure he's going to add on things that happened in the meantime. He'll add explanations, but the core laws came earlier. So that's how the Torah, if I want to follow how the Torah was written, it's very different than how it was given. If it was written in chronological order, at the end of Parsha Mishpatim, I would have the laws of Sefer Devarim. Then I have the story of Chet Ego, then the Mishkan, then the laws of Vayikra after the Mishkan is built. And then in Vayikra, and even about Midbar, there's some laws that were given in Har Sinai, like Parshat Bahar, that Chumash saves them for thematic reasons and puts them in the other books. Again, not in the 1 minute that we have left. So if I want to summarize my title, hope I got the point across, is that there's a big difference between how the Torah was written and how it was given. Chazal, feel free to interpret that way. And whenever a teacher tells you, Ein Mukdam Mokhar B'Torah, that doesn't mean stop thinking, it means start thinking. It means there's the underlying assumption the Chumash is out of order on purpose to teach you lessons, and when you understand first how it's out of order, you can appreciate much better what you have to begin to look for and what's the meaning behind it. So once you understand that, how the Torah was given in a very different way than it was written, that'll help you appreciate all the Pirushim of Chazal, and like I said, Rashi always comes out better. When you look in depth, Rashi usually comes out even better than Ramban.